Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's go, Mass. Here we go.
Polly!
Go ahead.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name.
Hey, Paul.
I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day.
Dinner time!
Gotta get out, get me some of those rays. Everybody's smiling, sunshine day. Everybody's laughing, sunshine day.
Chicken.
Everybody seems so happy today.
Oh, yeah.
It's sunshine day.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now.
As usual, Paul Perlow joins us via the Zoom link. How you doing, Pip?
Doing well, guys. How are you?
Oh, just another day in paradise.
Paulie's favorite subject this week. Dinner.
It's just mean.
It's not right. It's really not right. Yeah. Paul, how do you feel about where the team stands here coming back off of their hiatus there, for lack of a better term, and getting back in the building and what we're looking at this week? And did last night tell you anything?
Yeah, I mean, last night kind of opened my eyes a little bit, because I've been one of the guys that's sort of been harping on the practice, the prep time and stuff like that. So maybe I overrated that a little bit. I certainly think Tennessee, looked pretty good. I do think Tennessee did, I think Mike Vrabel did the Bill Belichick thing, right? It seems like, and listening to some of the comments from Titans players after the game, it's sort of us against the world. We've had our names thrown around and everybody's laughing at us. Everybody's pointing fingers and blaming us for all of this. And I think there was a little bit of resentment for that. And I think you're going to get a similar kind of attitude from the Patriots. I think, Belichick right now is sort of, for lack of a better term, circling the wagons a little bit and gearing up a little bit for the us against them.
Wait a minute. So who's really ripping them other than us? Are they catching grief nationally?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I think nationally people are wondering why it seems to be quote unquote just the Titans and the Patriots, but certainly not locally.
I mean, locally, people are lauding them as Bill's Florence Nightingale, and team has been unjustly accused and forced at gunpoint out to Kansas City to play a game to infect more players. Like, locally, who are they circling the wagons against?
Oh yeah, no, he takes his first aid kit with him wherever he goes. Belichick,
Mike, you've been around for a long time, and you know that when you circle the wagons against everybody else, it doesn't have to have a reason. And it doesn't have to be valid.
It's true.
And I always use the my favorite example of the 14-2 Patriots playing at the 15-1 Steelers in the 2004 AFC Championship game as favorites, yet they all told us that no one thought they could win. McGinnis and Rodney Harrison were leading the charge, and it doesn't have to be a valid circling of the wagons, but if the team believes in it, and based on the reaction, you guys have talked about Jason McCourty a little bit and how passionate he spoke about it. I think they believe that they've been wronged, and I think they're going to use that a little bit as some extra motivation.
Huh. So the team thinks they've been wronged by the league is really what we're talking about. And how so specifically?
Well, I think they feel like it was unfair that they had to get on that plane and play a game the same day as they traveled. And I think that you see the sort of the alteration of some of the rules with, in terms of the high contact guys, right? The high risk guys would be eliminated. And this is sort of, something I think that's kind of interesting too. Like that memo that went out yesterday and, people are sort of crediting or, sort of pointing at the Chiefs Patriots game as the reason, the impetus behind that change. No longer will teams be asked to do that. Well, yeah, they're not going to be asked to have guys like Stephon Gilmore play in that game. I think if it happens again like that, those high-risk contact guys will be eliminated as well, and you'll not only be without the guy who originally tested positive, and in this case, Cam Newton, but also guys that will they know were around him, in this case, Stephon Gilmore. So I think the league is still going to try to make those games get played.
So, Paul, do you think the impetus there is really the league saying is the penalty is going to be greater in effect, right? That maybe.
Well, I think the impetus is that I think they're recognizing the incubation period. The stuff that we talked about last week, you know, that the we all felt when we talked last Wednesday that the Patriots weren't out of the woods yet. Ultimately, unfortunately, we were all right. And there were more, you know, positives that came. And ultimately, another one that wound up doing away with the game with the Broncos. But I think that the league is just going to, I think, eliminate more players from the equation, not the games. I, you know, maybe I'm wrong on that, but that's how I read it, is they're going to try to eliminate these guys that are high-risk contacts and make sure that you're not in a situation like the Patriots were a couple of weeks ago, having to go to Kansas City, probably with a pretty good knowledge that there were guys they were traveling with that had the virus, even though they had yet to test positive.
So, Paul, you've been to Kansas City, right?
I have.
Yeah, just how small is that visitor's locker room, Paul?
I mean, it's a small locker room. Buffalo is small. I know everybody has said that. I'm not big into the locker room. Like, the visiting locker rooms, for the most part, are not overly spacious. That's an older stadium. It's a small space. You would like to think that teams – and, you know, look at what they did in baseball, Maz. Like, you know, teams haven't – the random stadiums around the league – have used like luxury suites and whatnot for extra clubhouse space. Has that been the case with visiting teams as well?
Oh yeah, it has. Yeah. To right. a degree.
So
yeah. Well, they've created
like
more space.
Something like
yes.
that could have been done, you know, especially places like Kansas City and Baltimore that are older facilities with smaller spaces. You know, maybe they could have a more permanent kind of tent structure in the parking lot. There's not a lot of tailgating going on. There aren't a lot of fans involved. So you have the space to do it. I'd like to think you could do that. Maybe the league should step in and mandate it. But overall, do I think that's a big part of this equation? No, I don't. I think that the positives were in place before they got there. I mean, I think if you look at it, the Patriots, if it ends up being these four guys, I would say the Patriots protocols and their activities have been pretty good. They've buttoned it down and they mitigated the damage.
Okay. And they also made out. They also pushed back a game in which they would not have had their best offensive and defensive players. And so that sort of times out nicely. And I think that is left out of the equation here locally as well, where Bill has become a great advocate for the players. I get it. And I think it's genuine. I think he listens to his players. I think he cares about his players. I'm not telling you that that's not the case. I think
there's
he
no
does.
Question that that's true.
Yeah,
no
he does. Question. He. But it's easy. It's a lot easier. I'll put it to you like that. It's a lot easier to listen to your players and get their backs in this situation when you can postpone a game 6 days and get your starting quarterback back. You know, I wonder if the whole tone would have been different. Again, you tell me, is the whole tone different if Cam Newton's playing and Pat Mahomes is on the COVID list? If Cam Newton's playing and Pat Mahomes is on the COVID list, I think Bill's saying, instead of being on these calls, like you hear he's on these calls telling the league and super involved with all these calls, instead he says, oh, guys, I got to go games at one. You know what I mean? Like it's convenient. And it also works for them competitively. And, you know, just don't lose sight of that.
Oh, yeah, I don't think.
I mean, I think that's a fair point. I can't imagine that they would have been, looking to get rid of that game had the shoe been on the other foot. I think that's a fair argument.
Okay, so go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you think both those guys are playing this week, Paul? Newton and Gilmore.
Yeah, I really felt that Newton was on target to get back, and I saw the thing that Big Jim just mentioned in the flash there, the update with Dan Roach talking about Gilmore as well. So yeah, I think you're outside that 10-day period that they've been talking about with asymptomatic players, and I think there's a chance that you see both of them. I strongly think Newton will be back in the equation.
So again, we just showed a Mike Giardi tweet that says the same thing, that he has been very active in calls with the league, which again, if you get to push back games in which your starting quarterback's not going to play, I think it's kind of easy to be active with the league and to push to have these games postponed. That makes sense. If Cam Newton were playing and Pat Mahomes were on the COVID list, how active would he have been? I can't
and
come
Andy
to the.
Lee would be very active behind the scenes with the COVID protocols.
I don't know. Can't come to the phone right now. I'm preparing for a game Sunday at 1. You know, I mean, like, come on. Like, just call it for what it is.
Oh, totally.
It also worked out for him.
Oh, he's no fool. Like, he knew it would benefit. This is the guy that controls everything, tells his players to stay focused. He'll handle all the other stuff. Now, all of a sudden this week, it's, yeah, you know, why don't you guys get on the phone with your union? No, really. Good. That's actually a good idea now that I think of it. In fact,
this is going to end up.
Hold on, Paul, 1 second. In fact, what you should do, Devin, why don't you call the league and Jason, you call the union? I mean, you guys, you're twins, right? So you can make two calls. You can do that. You guys can do it at the same time because, again, you're twins. You guys can work twice as fast as everybody else. I love that idea. Go ahead, Paul.
Are you done?
I'm done. Yeah.
Are you done? Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, it's hard to argue that this is going to work out to be sort of a blessing in disguise, right? I mean, you had a very real possibility of having to play two games without your quarterback. You were able to get one of them pushed back. Looks like now you're going to have him back. And, you know, a game that I think anytime you're playing with your backup quarterback, there's always that chance that you could lose. I don't look at this game really as a possible loss now, as long as they're reasonably healthy and ready to go.
And wouldn't you know it? One of the best skill position players on the Broncos got popped for DUI.
Well, this is par for the course. They're either breaking their leg or getting pulled over. Like, that's happens every year, every week.
That Melvin Gordon.
Tom Brady may be in Tampa, but that thing still happens.
Oh,
here.
Boy, does it ever. Really funny. If the game were played on Sunday, he'd have been out there.
Okay, you thought
Monday.
Yeah,
but now this Sunday.
There's a lot of Broncos that wouldn't have been out there, though, that might be, you know, starting with Drew Lock. So, I mean, it works both ways there. You got to be fair.
Ooh, you talk about it like he's paying me.
Not Drew Lock.
Oh. I'm scared now.
Ooh. Elway himself.
Hey, it's not the Patriots' fault that their starting quarterback is better than the opponent's starting quarterback.
This is true. Okay, thoughts on the COVID thing with the Patriots?
Sunshine's back, baby.
617-779-0985. I want Paul's thoughts on last night's game, what it says about the competition or maybe Vrabel as a coach or just the need for practice time in general. I want his thoughts on Le'Veon Bell. There seems to be some Le'Veon Bell movement out there. People have got a little Le'Veon Bell thing in their head. So you want to weigh in on that? You can join us at 617-779-0985. Back for all of that right after this.
Sports. Austin's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
My understanding of the Patriots compliance, it was really good. Like when they looked into it and they looked into this after the Cam Newton situation, the mass compliance was close, you know, not 100%, but damn close to 100%, as good as you could probably hope for it to be. And you know, the way that they were running their meetings, all that different stuff was up to snuff. The other thing that's sort of interesting about this, guys, and I wrote about this on Monday. I don't know how much this has been out there. Bill Belichick has been hugely vocal on these conference calls with the league. Like I've talked to people with other teams who have said they're blown away by A, how much he knows, and B, how involved he is in all of this and how involved he wants to be in all of this. And so, you know, it's sort of interesting to me that like he's really engaged and involved himself and educated himself on all of this, because I don't think every head coach in the NFL is doing that. I think a lot of head coaches are sort of passing it off on their head athletic trainer or their team doctor and saying like, you handle this for me, I'll just follow your direction. That's not what Bill's doing. Bill's actually engaged like in the minutia of how to handle the virus, what the virus is, and how bad it can get for your team if you don't do things the right way.
was Bert Breer on earlier. Mike Giardi again just tweeted something very similar to that today. I wonder if he was as detailed with Cam Newton, you know, and maybe Stephon Gilmore. I'm curious about that. That's one question I would have. But the other question, again, it just goes back to that thing, which is, let's see how quote-unquote active Bill is if the opponent has to fly out here the day of the game without their starting quarterback. Meanwhile, you're sitting here with your starter. Let's see how concerned and active he is in that situation, or he won't be able to come to the phone because he's getting ready for the 1 o'clock kick. Because these are the rules that we set, guys, and we have to stand by these rules and get the schedule in.
I mean, it's the golden rule down there, right? Bill does what's good for Bill.
I mean, you don't blame him.
No. But I mean, you know, his interests are in the football team, so that usually translates, but not always.
All right, well, let's get into this. 617-779-0985, the Le'Veon Bell thing. Pearl in New Hampshire, lead us off with that topic. Go ahead.
Guys, I think that Le'Veon Bell is a quality uptick on every back you have, because what you have right now, he's a Swiss Army knife. He can go out. He can be your wide receiver. He can be in the backfield. He's an upgrade on everybody at all their positions. And one thing you have to think about this, we must really give Tomlin some real credit to deal with the a-holes that they had in Bell and Brown. So I'm like, whoa, I got a new respect for him just dealing with those two in the same backfield at the same time.
Okay, well, let's just go with the matter at hand. Paul, you yes or no on Le'Veon Bell to the Patriots?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably a no. I would acknowledge right up front that he would be the best back you have. I mean, I'm not trying to make an argument here that he's washed up or that he's not as good as people thought. I think he's a terrific running back. A couple of things. Number one, I think you have a really deep backfield. And I'm not saying, again, that he wouldn't be an upgrade over what you have. You could certainly get rid of one for him and you'd be a little bit better. I don't think you'd be substantially better by doing that. And the second thing is, more of a football thing, just his style, his running style. You know, he'd be a tremendous weapon out of the backfield, but as a running back, I'm not sure his style would be overly conducive to the way the Patriots have really been dominating up front. They're opening up holes, and they want their running backs to get through them. I think part of the problem that we've had with Sony Michel is that he's been a little bit hesitant at times getting through the holes. Well, that's Le'Veon Bell. He's more of a patient runner, likes to pick his spots and sort of twist and weave his way through. I think he's tremendously talented. I'm not suggesting that he's not, but I'm not sure it would be a great fit. And certainly all the off-field stuff to me is something that you don't necessarily need to bring onto your team, because I think that spot is one of the few that you're really deep and talented at.
Paul's right about the running game. I didn't consider that. Bill likes the guys to get the ball and go forward.
One cut and go.
Yep, go.
Yeah.
Go, go, go. Bell likes to wait, you know, let it develop.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but what I like is the fact that he can catch it. And again, if I were them, given their limitations on receivers and a tight end, I would just have more backs on the field and throw the backs more.
But I think Paul just hit on it. It's not a need. You know, we had Bedard on yesterday. He says clearly the biggest need, tight end, got to go tight end. That the position they've neglected. It's a position Cam Newton likes to throw to. Right. He's big on the tight end. If you had to add one piece, Paul, where would you start?
Yeah, I mean, I think I heard Greg a little bit yesterday. I think tight end would be a good one. They need another pass catcher. Now, I don't necessarily think they need another running back who catches passes, because I don't think Le'Veon Bell is the kind of guy that you can say, well, we're going to split him out wide and, you know, they could put a safety or a corner on him and we like that matchup. No, I like the matchup with Le'Veon Bell on a linebacker like I do with most other running backs. There aren't very many guys like Alvin Kamara who can beat anybody, you know, in space. And I don't think that's the kind of receiving back that Le'Veon Bell is, certainly not at this stage of his career. But I agree with the big boy. I would love to see a tight end get added, but I think it's going to be in-house. I think they're going to have to get Devin Asiasi more involved. And, you know, you're going to have to live with some of his mistakes. You got to get him on the field. You got to get him involved, and you got to throw the ball his way a couple of times. Get him and Keen involved over the next, say, month. You know, and I'll give them a pass for September. I'll go with the whole offseason, no preseason games. September was the preseason. Okay, now it's time to get these guys involved. Let's see what they can do. It would be a crime if you get through a whole season here and not have any idea if Asiasi or Keen can be a regular contributor in the passing game.
All right, so you're ready to give them a pass for September, but if they still suck this month, come November, you're ready to say they suck?
You're a little late this week. It's 4:27.
Well, we had to be serious there for the first 20 minutes there, Paul.
Oh, okay. No, if they're not really involved at all in the passing game all year, then you do Jim, you have to wonder, did we miss again? You know, is this another one of these receivers that isn't really going to be able to factor in? I have to think that Asiasi's been on the field the first four games. They're probably not overly comfortable with his level of comfort in the system. So they're giving him some extra time. They don't want to risk turnovers because, you know, you think back to some of the young tight ends, young receivers that they've had, guys that are inexperienced in the system, that's led to turnovers in the past, right? You know, Sudfeld, you know, a few years back. Remember when they brought Michael Floyd in and some of the, you know, the quick slants last year, the slant to Harry against Houston. Some of these guys, when they're not in the right spot, it's led to bad things. So maybe they're a little gun shy, but you got to see what they have.
So
you got to get some of these young guys involved.
Do you think their first options are internal across the board? You think they're not of a mind to add or add anything?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I've been trying to ask a little bit about the trade deadline and what might be available and what they're going to go after. I do think there's a chance now that some of these teams have declared, you know, there's a handful of 0-5 teams. There's a handful of 1-4 teams. There are teams that have to know right now they ain't going to the playoffs. So I want to mine some of those rosters. And the team I keep bringing up every week on our show on Patriots Unfiltered is Jacksonville. You know, they have some decent wide receivers in Jacksonville that aren't really playing a big role. You know, one's kind of a veteran in Chris Conley, who's been around a little bit, spent some time with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Another is D.D. Westbrook. And I'm wondering if he's more of a slot kind of guy. He hasn't really played at all for the Jags. I don't know if he just can't play or if he just doesn't have a role there. But, you know, maybe look at some of those teams. You know, you give up a late conditional pick and see if you can steal somebody and get him in for the second half of the season.
Chris Conley blows. I would rather have, to me, Paul, I'd rather have a guy in the front seven on defense. And I'll tell you what.
I'll take a defensive tackle too, Tony. Absolutely. Yeah, and there's guys, you know, I'll leave that to Greg. You know, Greg probably knows the
fact.
You know, some backup interior defensive lineman that can fill the role that they thought Bo Allen was going to fill.
No, that's, you know, Greg. That area is definitely Greg's. Birds of a feather. Yeah, as you mentioned, the tight end thing, and I know this isn't apples to apples.
Wow, you're yelling.
But Gronk's rookie year, Gronk didn't really start to become part of the passing game until about halfway through the season. I mean, I was just looking it up. He had 10 catches in the first 7 weeks.
What would you think right now if Devin Asiasi had 10 catches?
Oh, I'd be doing cartwheels.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But Gronk's numbers, if you remember, and I remembered this, there was a game at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh is when he broke out.
He got three touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in the final 9 games that year, he caught 32 balls. So he became, you know, again, he wasn't Gronk, but at least he became a part of it. And so, I don't know, maybe with tight ends, there's a curve there. And, you know, it's a half season. Maybe that's by the way, if that's what happens, I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I'm with Paul. They got to get these guys on the field, Paul. I agree.
Yeah, not to put you on the spot. I don't know if you have those numbers in front of you, but what did Hernandez have, you know, in the first half of that year? Because that's part of it. There was two young guys that they were sort of slowly integrating into the offense. Right now, they would die to have one of these guys emerge.
Okay, more with Paul Perillo and your calls at 617-779-0985. And what last night's game told us. We'll get to that right after Murray's update.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Paul Perillo, Patriots.com, joining us for this hour, as he does every Wednesday during the football season. Paul, what's out to you last night? Titans, Bills.
Yeah, I was really impressed with Tennessee. I thought, especially offensively, I thought, Derrick Henry didn't dominate the game. You know, I thought the Bills did a decent job on him. but yet the Titans had a lot of answers. I thought they put together some good drives. Obviously, they took advantage of the turnovers that led to 21 points. But I was pretty impressed with Tennessee, and this is going to sound strange, but really the first time I got a chance to see a full game of Josh Allen, and I know he threw a couple of picks, and one of them was a really bad one, the second one. But I was pretty impressed. I thought he threw more passes in that game that looked quote-unquote normal to me than the last time I remember. You know, there's been a lot of chuck and duck with him, a lot of moon balls deep down the field, just taking prayers and you know, taking advantage of guys, you know, beating coverage, being wide open. There wasn't a lot of that last night. He had a lot of, you know, sort of timing routes on the sideline, a couple of balls where he was on the move, bought some time in the pocket, slid. The touchdown throw to Yeldon was very impressive. He made some mistakes, and I don't think that he's, despite the numbers, I don't think he's one of the best quarterbacks in football just because he had, you know, four good games. But I did come away impressed with his improvement. I thought he looked more like an NFL quarterback than I'd seen, in the last 2 years.
Oh, there's no question the progress is there. The arrow is pointed up.
Oh, he's better. There's no doubt about it. And he's still not, he's still not on the same page with Diggs. At least he wasn't last night. He talked to Diggs last night 16 times and completed 10. So you look at it, that's just not good enough for your best receiver. You got to be better.
There were some drops there, too, you know, that Diggs had a couple of drops. I thought Knox had a big drop for him. Like I said, I came away from that saying, if this is the worst game he's played this year, he's gotten a lot better.
Are you a big believer in the Bills?
I'm still wondering about the whole organization, the whole package there. The defense didn't impress me, and I know they were missing some significant parts last night, both corners. Matt Milano, the BC linebacker, has been a big part of their success. He didn't play, but they didn't come up with any stops really last night. I thought the only time Tennessee got stopped was basically because someone dropped a pass or there was a penalty somewhere along the line. Both teams, I thought, were pretty sloppy with the penalties. That's been something I think we've seen with McDermott against the Patriots. They've had some killer penalties. That early touchdown that got wiped out by an illegal shift, which is to me an unforgivable penalty, you know, those pre-snap alignment kind of things. So still a little sloppiness with Buffalo. And here's the thing, you know, now they have Kansas City on tap, an angry Kansas City, a game that they're probably going to lose. So now, you know, if you end up losing two in a row, how do you respond to that? Do you go 8-8 like you usually do when these kinds of things happen, or do you say, okay, we're still a good team, we're okay, and you bounce back and win the next four in a row after that? So I'm going to be curious to see how they handle some adversity here.
I'm not as down on them as you guys are. They're good. Now, again,
I think they're good.
They're still the Bills.
I think they're talented.
Yeah, I didn't say great. I said good. They're a good team. And so now the discipline thing, I mean, it feels to me like McDermott wants to play, you know, he obviously wants to play physical, tough defense, and I think that can get them into trouble. But in terms of they got, you know, an improving quarterback, they got a good defense when they're all on the field. They've added to their weaponry. You know, I mean, to me, I told you the games I want to see this year are Patriots-Buffalo. Those are the ones that will tell me what the Patriots are and what the Bills are. Because the Patriots clearly came back to the field a little bit, and Buffalo has gotten a little bit better. So I want to see them head-to-head. To me, those games are going to tell us a lot.
Paul, go ahead. You had a thought there.
No, I agree with everything Tony said. I do think Buffalo's good. I'm not sure that they're the division winners yet. And the 4-0 start, I don't think it was against the most difficult competition. Some good wins there. I think the Raiders win's a good win. And I think the Rams win's a good win. But Miami, we'll see how important that one is, and how impressive that one is in a few weeks. But I agree with Tony's larger point. And I also will say, in Buffalo's defense, we talk a lot about who's in and out of the lineup for these different teams. Buffalo was missing a lot of players last night. And John Brown is a big part of that offense too. And, you know, he was out and, you know, we talked about the guys on defense. So yeah, I'm intrigued by what Buffalo can be. I guess I'm just looking kind of the way that Big Jim is. And so I've been down this road with the Bills too many times. I want to see them do it against the Patriots when it matters most, I guess.
Even when that secondary was healthy and they have guys like Tre'Davious White, they were getting shredded. That game against the Rams that they almost blew a few weeks ago, they got in a shootout with Miami of all teams. Like, I don't know. I still think that there's red flags there.
That nebulous thing of can they put it all together?
Right.
It's like, so what is that coaching? Is that culture? Is that there's just, I don't know if they can put it all together. I think their roster is the most talented in the division. And I think that Josh Allen, if he keeps improving, look out. I mean, he's got all the skills, and he's gotten better as it is. And he made some plays last night where, you know, I didn't know who I was watching there. Between him and Tannehill, it's just, can they put
stink
it,
of Buffalo.
Can they put it all together? And last night was sort of like one of those spots. You got Tennessee, where I know they've rallied around the COVID thing, but still, two practices in 16 days. They've hardly been in the building. They've hardly been on the field, you know. At the spot where you take advantage of that team, you come in, you play a clean game, you put some pressure on Tennessee, see how they respond. You should be more ready than them. And it was just sort of the opposite. Was that just right in my face? Buffalo just not ready. They just can't put it together. Like, that's sort of my takeaway from that thing.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, could be. I mean, I'm not telling you I think that they're great. I'm just telling you that I think they're legit. They're a legitimately good team. I don't expect them to end up, you know, 6-10 again.
Is Tennessee legit, Paul?
Yeah, I think Tennessee's pretty good. You know, I don't know if they're an undefeated threat or anything like that. They've been, you know, getting by the skin of their teeth.
Boy, have they ever.
Yeah, a couple of very narrow wins, Denver and Minnesota. But when you look at, I do think they're a pretty good team, and I think Vrabel has the culture. Mike, you touched on the culture word with Buffalo, and I think that's valid. I wonder if they have what it takes to put it all together. And I think what you said about that game last night is right. You know, that's a spot they should have come in ready to take control at the beginning of the game and given Tennessee an excuse. Oh, you know, we're down 14-0, but we weren't ready to play this game. Instead, they throw a pick on the first possession on a ball that's thrown behind a guy that probably still should have been caught. And all of a sudden you're down 7-0. Now you respond to that, make it 7-7. Then you get a stop and then you have a chance to get out and take the lead, and you fall, you know, you drop a couple more passes, you end up having a punt, and it really went downhill from there. And, you know, Tennessee was missing some guys last night, too, with the COVID stuff, and they were able to overcome it. Buffalo wasn't. To me, that's – I think culture is a good word there, Mike. I think they're still missing that a little.
I mean, maybe this is the game – maybe this whole thing woke Tennessee up, because they weren't impressive the first 3 weeks. Paul's right. I mean, they did
– But they find a way.
Yeah, they won by 6 points, three games by 6 points total.
Does that really matter?
Oh, they're not playing good defense, though. They give up 30 in two straight games. So, like, you know, to me, Vrabel's teams have a certain identity, and that's not it.
I feel like they kind of know how to win.
Last night, though, was different.
I think they're limited, but I think they know how to win.
Yeah.
And they have that thing.
I mean, again, if they need something to rally. And there's a team that, in theory, should be on a mission, right? They lost in the – was that the AFC Championship
game? Yes, it was. Sure
okay,
was. Yeah.
AFC Championship game. They were a little bit of a Cinderella team to get there. You know, and now they're back with basically the same group. I mean, they've added some pieces here and there. Clowney's in there, obviously. Like, I don't know, maybe I have underestimated. Well, I told you, I thought they were going to fall back to earth this year.
To me, the most fascinating part of last night was the quarterback
play.
Yeah,
sure.
Which I thought was, at times, exceptional. To the point where, you know, Josh Allen did sort of backslide and make some mistakes. But for the most part, I would be watching this game and seeing these guys going back and forth. I'd say, who am I watching? Who are these guys? Because I thought the quarterback play was tremendous. And I do want to tie that into the role of coaching and program, which is something we've talked a lot about with Brady and Newton and all of this. I think there is a tie-in last night, and I'm going to pick that up right when we come back for a long commercial-free segment after this.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help Line MA.org.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for.
Boo!
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tannehill dropping under pressure, rolling to his right. He might run this in. Five! Tannehill! Touchdown! Titans with the finger roll!
Those two long runs by Tannehill, the touchdown and then the one in the fourth quarter. I do put on the Bills defense, too. That was just handing him the edge.
I told you, the one that stuck out to me last night in the Bills defense, they gave up a third and 20. A third and 20. Are you kidding? That's a Jets move. Like, really, third and 20. I think, I'm pretty sure they blitzed on the play. And I looked at that and go, you're an idiot. Like, what jackass blitzes on third and 20? Put your guys, you know, at the sticks, let him catch everything underneath, tackle him, it's over. A piece of cake.
So the Bills, still the Bills in some regard. Paul Perillo joins us for one last segment. You look at Ryan Tannehill's night. So again, there were portions of that game where I watched. I said, who the hell am I watching here? With this quarterback play that was really solid. Dude, Tannehill, 21 of 28, 75% completion percentage, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, .129 rating, rushing touchdown, another long one in the fourth I just mentioned for a key first down. Like, he was nails, and he's really been nails since he's gotten to Tennessee. Last year, Maz points out, led the league in quarterback rating, which is like absurd, but he's back at it again this year with, you know, roughly the same numbers. Last year, he was 117.5. This year, he's 110.8. You look at it, Paul. In 6 years in Miami, he was an 87 quarterback rating. Here in Tennessee, with Mike Vrabel, he's 115.4. So what's the difference?
Coaching, right? I mean, how do you get away from coaching? And you just wonder how many of these guys would fall into a similar situation.
Thank
you. Know,
you.
They get drafted by a team and maybe developed in a system that's not right for them. And, you know, you don't have the you know, Adam Gase was involved, right?
Yeah.
In Miami,
yeah.
With some of Tannehill. You know, he's not doing anything with Sam Darnold either. And you wonder if, you know, a lot of people think if Darnold had a change of scenery, then things could be a lot better for him too. So, you know, maybe in 2 or 3 years, we're talking about him the same way we're talking about Tannehill. The guy has talent. He has some mobility. I've always thought of him as being a guy that doesn't really handle the rush, the pressure in his face a lot of times sort of really got to him. But now it seems like they're keeping him out of those situations. And what I was impressed with last night was what I mentioned earlier. Like, it wasn't the Derrick Henry show. It wasn't, you know, he was running at will and, you know, their play action, picking their spots. No, Tannehill was a big part of what they did offensively last night because they really held Derrick Henry largely in check.
So this is what I, you know, mentioned earlier. Ryan Tannehill comes to Miami and here is head coaches in 6 years there. Joe Philbin, Dan Campbell, Adam Gase.
Dan Campbell,
the bro coach.
Bro.
I would bleed for you guys.
It's like, boy, like, talk about, I mean, he could be Joe Montana. He might not. Who survives that?
Nobody.
Who survives Joe Philbin, Dan Campbell, Adam Gase? He goes to Mike Vrabel, and all of a sudden he is something. And not that Mike Vrabel is some sort of offensive genius, but I think, you know, I learned this from Belichick, too. It's like, even if you're not a quote-unquote offensive coach, if you just sort of have a clue, I don't know, about not putting a guy in a position, you know, not having a guy do something he doesn't do well, accentuating his strengths, trying to hide his weakness. You don't have to be an offensive genius to know that. Those simple sort of things, or maybe reaching a player on a motivational level. And it's like, I mean, same guy. Was he invaded by aliens? Or did he finally just get a coach?
Well, and you can also, let's not make it too complicated sometimes. By playing defense, you sometimes know what works on offense. The safe stuff. So, and I combine the 2 years that you were talking about with Tannehill. He's been the most efficient passer in the league the last 2 years. Number one in the league in passer rating combined.
And in Miami, he's just a guy.
And number four in completion percentage.
Yeah, and right? So his rate is Tannehill, too.
Now, look, I'm not telling you he's the same playmaker, okay, because it's not apples to apples. One guy's throwing a lot, one guy's not. But his rating is higher than Russell Wilson since the start of last year. Now, Wilson's carrying that team. It's different.
Right, right.
But when they ask him to throw, he's more efficient than anybody in the game. I mean, they're getting what they need out of him.
And I do think part of it is Tannehill himself. I think he's started to sort of figure it out a little bit in Miami. He had that 1 year where I think they won 10 games and he tore his ACL, you know, maybe three quarters of the way through. I think Matt Moore had a play in the playoff game. But he seemed to be sort of figuring some things out and had been on the rise. Now, I think it's been night and day in Tennessee. He's now, you know, as Tony just gave you all the numbers, he's now among the best in the game from a statistics standpoint, and he's winning a lot of games. And I think you make a good point about Vrabel too. Sometimes, you know, you talk to the guys that play defense and they know how it's set up and they know what it's supposed to take away, but they also know what it's vulnerable to. And, you know, just being safe with the football, taking the checkdowns, you know, work the ball, you know, patiently down the field. And I think, you know, the same is true. We talked about with Josh Allen. I think he's learning a little of that as well. He has the big arm, but now I think he's using it a little bit less than he used to.
And then there's just some balls. I mean, the Tannehill's first touchdown pass was a freaking dime.
Money.
I mean, I don't remember him making that throw very often.
I'd never seen him make that throw in my
life. The Dolphins.
No, that was the thing of beauty. He literally dropped it right into the corner there. It was awesome.
I mean, so like overnight, the guy's a player, but I do think it does go back to coaching and program. It's so important. It's so important. You can be a great quarterback if you're dropped in to like Sam Darnold with the Jets. You're porked. You know, Herbert in L.A., is that the right spot or not? I'm not sure yet. I don't know. I don't know about that. Are they going to ruin him? Are they going to get the most out of him? Is that the right spot for him or not? Because that kid can play too.
Yeah, he's been impressive.
So, I mean, like, I don't know about
like
that.
Looked like Darnold could early, but I don't know. They might have just destroyed him.
He got gassed.
Yeah.
So, to me, the whole thing was a kind of a statement on Vrabel last night. I want to pick this up next hour. But first, Paul, just give me one thought here. Give me 60 seconds on Patriots-Broncos. Is this going to be a ball game?
Yeah, I don't really think so. I think the Patriots should win this game, you know, relatively easily. Real quick, the 30-second synopsis is young quarterbacks, no matter who's playing for the Broncos, that's generally ice cream for Bill Belichick. I think they turn up the heat on him and force some turnovers, and I think that makes it easy. And I think the team itself is going to get a lift by Cam Newton being back.
I mean, hasn't Belichick – I heard there were only like a couple of guys that have beaten him as
young quarterback?
Yeah, like, you know – I mean, Mark Sanchez, I think, is like one of the few, oddly enough.
Yeah, and even
this thing's,
you know,
a layup. Please,
Mahomes may not have won the games, but he, you know, he's obviously played well against him, you know, as a youngster. But not very many guys have a successful debut against Belichick.
Oh, please, Belichick could bring Ernie Adams down to play quarterback in this game. They're going to win.
Let me ask you one more, Paul.
Yeah.
Do you consider Mike Vrabel a member of the Bill Belichick coaching tree?
Yeah, I sort of do, even though he was never on the staff here. I consider him a Patriot disciple. And, yeah, I think that he does a lot of things that Belichick would certainly sign off on. Yes.
Boo. I disagree.
No, you don't
think
so? Yeah,
bye, Paul!
You both not think so?
Let's pick this up on the other side. You give Belichick credit?
God forbid we have a discussion about it. That's okay.
Well, we've got time to grab takeout.
Well, no, it's 5 o'clock. I should have asked you sooner. I should ask you sooner.
5 o'clock somewhere.
Vrabel was his own guy before he got here. He's his own guy on the other side of it. I'm sure he's picked some things up from Bill, but no, he's not one of these Bill Bobo automatons who goes somewhere else. Everything they know and have learned about the game is from Bill, a lot of these guys. That's not Vrabel.
He's more from the Urban Meyer tree, if you want to look at him as a coach.
Yeah, just don't invite Newton and Gilmore over for dinner tonight, Paul, all right?
We don't want to spot you out for dinner. We went easy on that one for you, Pip. We didn't delve into that.
All right.
But we will next hour. Thanks for joining us. All right. Here comes Murray's update. 90 seconds, no spots, and we're right back.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.